Welcome to the Property Buyer Podcast, where we explore the world of residential and commercial real estate to help you make better decisions about buying, selling, or investing in all types of property. Join me, Rich Harvey, CEO of propertybuyer.com.au and multi-award-winning buyer's advocate. Our podcast features expert interviews, market trends and insights, and practical tips for navigating the complex world of Australian real estate. Whether you're a home buyer, a seasoned property investor, commercial buyer, developer, or simply curious about the property market, our podcast is for you. Join us as we share our knowledge, strategies, and experience and help you achieve your property goals. Well, welcome to our next edition of the Property Buyer Podcast. Sydney's northern beaches used to be a well-kept secret, but now the word is well and truly out. Scores of buyers are looking for a piece of paradise. From Manly to Palm Beach to Middle Harbour suburbs of Seaforth, Clontarf or Killarney Heights, to the acreages around Ingleside or Terry Hills, or to the family-friendly suburbs of French's Forest and Forestville, there's something to suit everyone looking for their next home or investment property. My guests today on the podcast are the dynamic duo of Lisa and Mark Novak, who've been awarded some of the top accolades for their sales performance and also their social media reach. Lisa's been ranked in the top 100 agents across the country and been awarded the most innovative woman in real estate by REB. In this episode, we'll discover what's happening on the northern beaches. We'll discuss undervalued suburbs, what's the mood of buyers, and how to get into the local market. Lisa and Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Now, I'm going to hit you with a hard one up front, and I didn't tell you about this, but we have a thought of the week, right? Mm. So put your brain think cells in. And the thought of the week this week is from Stephen Covey, one of my favourite authors, who says, "I'm not a product of my circumstances, I'm a product of my decisions." What do you take from that quote? He wants to have a crack.
Over to you, Mark.
I believe that. I think that we're making thousands of decisions every day. And if you can get on balance, you know, those things right, it just, yeah, it definitely sets you in the right direction. And they're not, I think that people don't really have that, a lot of people don't have that common sense to apply those right decisions to those thousands of decisions in that day. So yeah, big time. I agree.
Yeah. And look, often these decisions or thoughts that we've got in our own mind, but a lot of people let noise get in the way of that. And I know that was certainly something that happened to me when I first started in real estate. I'd let the noise get in the way. And when I actually just stuck to what I believed in and what my decisions were, that's when I really felt that things took off.
Great.
So I think, you know, you've got to make the decision and stand by it. Mm. And if you do make a mistake, it's not the end of the world.
That's it. You've got to keep moving forward. Well, it's been a good decision for you guys to come on the podcast and a good decision for our listeners to listen, right? There
yes.
you go.
Yes.
So first question for you both. How did you get into real estate and what attracted you to work in the industry? Lisa, you want to kick it off?
Yeah. So look, I actually haven't been in real estate sales for all that long. I've been in real estate sales for just over 5 years.
Wow.
But I've been working behind the scenes in the industry for a lot longer, but real estate sales really was where I wanted to be. But you know, the business needed me elsewhere and the kids, they were younger, they're adult children now, they also needed me at home. So I kind of dived headfirst into real estate sales about 5.5 years ago and had seen a lot while I was sitting on the outside looking in. And so it's been great to actually be able to put all those wheels in motion.
Fantastic, yeah. What do you love about it? Do you like the cut and thrust of negotiating? Do you like listing your property, seeing happy vendors? What is it that gives you a buzz?
All of the above, but most of all, and I know it sounds very cliche, but most of all really just helping people.
Yeah.
I really do. I genuinely get a kick out of that. But you know, love dealing with my vendors, love going into listing presentations.
Yeah.
You know, and just having the capability and capacity to be able to change people's lives.
Yeah. Mark, what about for you? What attracted you?
I left school at 17 and loved car stereos. And I went to Stratford Car Radios. They put on this like hectic engineer of a guy and me and said, "Gonna give you guys 2 weeks and see who gets the job." Didn't last. And some cousins at the time, some my godparents, the whatever they said I would do. And for 5 years, I just thought that was the best thing ever. And they said, you should get into real estate. That's all they had to say. And I guess I just didn't know. Do you know what I mean? So I went in and just yeah, everything worked. So it just flowed from there. And
wonderful.
Yeah. So
that's fantastic. Yeah.
Simple start.
So Team Novak's growing quite a bit, I've been observing, and driving down Pittwater Road, and your offices seem to get better and flashier, and there's more people, there's more signs out every weekend that I'm seeing. But tell me about what suburbs you cover and how many people in Team Novak.
So we cover a lot of suburbs, pretty much north side of the bridge all the way through to Palm Beach. Mm. So we have quite a large catchment. And sometimes vendors do ask us to sell out of area. I'm actually just about to list a property in Mossman. And in terms of our team, we're a team of 45.
Wow.
Which has grown considerably over the 22 years that we've been in business.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's great. Great achievement, guys. Well done. Thank you. Really good. Do you find there's more sort of suburbs that you get better concentration in than other suburbs? Yeah?
Look, I think that the function of what we do, you can sort of blueprint, you know, and the only thing that sort of holds us back is the physically getting to the place. Mm. So as long as it's you know, within sort of 10-15 minutes drive, well, we're good. We're real good. So
fantastic.
I think it works well.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us more about the Northern Beaches for our listeners. Like, what do you see as the unique, perhaps defining features of the Northern Beaches property market? And secondly, how do you sell that to buyers? What does it sell itself?
It kind of sells itself. I mean, you know, a lot of people refer to the Northern Beaches as God's country. And for many intents and purposes, it really is. There's not that many areas where you can go to and a buyer says, well, how far to the beach? And you go, well, which beach would you like? You know, there's hundreds of them around us. Yeah. And it is still very, very affordable when you compare these types of suburbs that have got great proximity to just so many things. Mm. You know, when you compare the Northern Beaches to areas like the eastern suburbs, it is still so affordable.
Isn't it?
Here.
Yeah.
It really is.
Are you finding it? I'm finding that too in our inquiry levels. Like, if someone's got $7 million, we'll talk a higher budget right now for a minute, but $7 million, and what they can get in Vaucluse for $7 million versus what they can get $7 million on the Northern Beaches is vastly different.
Couldn't agree more. So, fun fact, I'm actually born and bred eastern suburbs.
There you go.
And, you know, I'm always comparing property prices in the east, areas like Tamarama and Bronte and Bellevue Hill, you know, where these properties are fetching upwards of $20-30 million. You know, and if you took that kind of budget and brought that here to the beaches, you're going to almost own suburbs. So you know, it's quite incredible.
Tell me more, and jump in, Mark, too, about pricing on the Northern Beaches. So for those that aren't familiar, who perhaps listen to this podcast, what's an entry-level house going to cost? You know, and again, we might need to mention specific areas and cost, but if you want to buy a basic three-bedroom, one-bath, one-car home just as an entry-level, what sort of dollars do we need for that?
I'd say 1.9, suburbs like French's Forest. So we're pretty much a skinny coastline that goes from the CBD of Sydney. We get to the Spit Bridge, that's where we start, and then we go all the way up to up the peninsula of sort of Palm Beach. So the further you go away from that beach, or the further you go, or even sometimes away from that city, then the values will pull back a little bit more. So you're 1.9.
Yeah, 1.9. Okay. Level. Yeah, great. And what about an entry level apartment? So, you know, like a first home buyer, you know, an early entry investor, what have they got to spend to get into an apartment?
So I just sold one, actually, a one bedder in DY that had no parking, but it sold for $600,000.
Yeah.
So relatively affordable when you consider that you were literally 1 minute walk to the beach. Mm. And then you swing around the other way and you're 1 minute walk to a bus that's going to have you in the CBD in about 40 minutes.
Mm.
So still pretty affordable. Mm. They're few and far between.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can still get great value at sort of $750,000 to $800,000.
Fantastic, yeah. So say I've got a budget of $2.5 million, right, and I'm a mum and dad and I've got two kids, where could I buy a house for that sort of money, do you think?
I just sold one in Narrowena yesterday. You know, and look, that was great buying. It was smart buying. It was a beautifully renovated four-bedroom house in Narrowena. But the gold was it had a two-bedroom granny flat attached to it, which was bringing in $720 a week.
Wow.
So if you're a young family and you're going, goodness me, those interest rates have just gone up times three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got sort of $720 to $800 a week coming in as well.
That certainly helps the bottom line, doesn't it?
Smart buying, and that one sold for circa 2.5.
Wow, wow. So you must see a lot of different buyer types coming through your open houses. Tell me about the demographics, the types of buyers that are coming through. Are they local, out of area? Tell me about the sorts of people coming through.
Very local. I think people, a good 60, 70% are within, you know, within the suburbs. And then there's this those people that head sort of north. So, you know, your people in Mosser and Cremorne, and then the odds, you know, Bondi and places like that. So, yeah, it's very local.
Yeah, and I have to say it's been quite interesting, actually. And I find particularly over the last 12 months, we've had a lot of crossover between, you know, from buyers that are coming from Mossman over to the Northern Beaches. I had a property that was on the market on the headland in North Curlcurl, and it was almost like a running joke. Every buyer would walk in and be like, where are you selling at the moment? Oh, in Mossman. Every other buyer, you know, and the reason is the beach is not that close, and it's a very busy suburb, and they're getting huge property prices over there. So you sell up for 10, you can bank some money and come and live in a phenomenal property for circa 8 million here.
Yeah, fantastic. And what about the North Shore buyers? Because there used to be quite the leafy change to the sea change. You get the people that have had the kids going through private school and then the parents want to downsize. Are you seeing a bit of that as well coming through?
Lots of it. So, and also, you know, look, COVID obviously changed a lot, you know, where people have got this versatile working environment, and where they were travelling into the CBD five times a week, they're doing it now two, three times a week.
Yeah.
And so they're able to, you know, push out further north. Yeah, absolutely we are.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And what's the mood of the market out there amongst buyers? Is a buyer's kind of hesitant? Like we've had this, you know, we're recording this in May of 2024, and there's been talk of potentially one more rate rise to contain inflation, and you know the cuts are going to be delayed. Is that sort of holding buyers back? What's the mood of the market at the moment?
I think it's the change that rattles people. When the rates are sort of up or down, that's when we see real difference. But when it's settled, even if it's settled now at, you know, 6-odd%, you know, very good, very strong market. We actually haven't, I read some data the other night, for 15 months we've had consecutive price increases through an environment where interest rates went from 2 to 6%.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, when it calms down, it's very positive.
Are buyers hesitating for any other reasons apart from interest rates, do you think?
Look, there is a little bit of a waiting game going on at the moment, and buyers, I often ask, what are you waiting for? Well, we're waiting for the interest rates to come down, or we're waiting for more stock to come on the market, or we're waiting for prices to drop. And I think they're going to be waiting a while, to be honest with you. Stock levels right now, when I checked yesterday, across the Northern Beaches, are sitting at about 620. That's collectively houses and apartments. Now, that is not a huge amount of stock. The lowest I've ever seen them was sitting at about 450. So, you know, we're not too far off that. Yeah. And we can't, we're not seeing a huge amount of stock coming on either. No. We're just not.
No.
Yeah.
And obviously with construction prices going up a lot, people are hesitant to build. Are you seeing that sort of phenomenon in the Northern Beach as well? People are unwilling to renovate, unwilling to knock down and rebuild as much as they were perhaps when construction costs were a bit more normalised?
Yeah, definitely. The pipe's quite long though, so I think that, you know, those decisions aren't changed overnight or over a month or two. These guys that are actually building have made this decision two, three years ago and financed it 1 year ago, so they're sort of in.
Yeah.
But I think looking forward for the next 1 to 3 years, I think people are sort of thinking it could be a better alternative just to actually buy something rather than do the reno.
So we have a constant discussion with our clients of it, just like you're saying, what are you waiting for? It's a great question to ask, because people often have this false thinking that if they wait, that prices will drop low enough that they can then get in. But look what happened in COVID. You know, the Northern Beaches prices went up 38.5%.
Crazy.
In a year and a half, it was insane. It did come back a bit, about 10, 15%. But as you know, the constriction on supply is continuing to make the Northern Beaches one of the premier investment locations and lifestyle locations as well.
Yeah, 100%. And waiting's easy. Waiting's easy, and you know, making the excuses is real easy. So I think, you know, putting your finger on the trigger and pulling it is, it's a lot of work, it's stress, but it's very rewarding. So I think on balance, most people wait. You know, and then there's that, there's the odd people go, and those go-getters profit.
And chances are that property market's coming up. So, you know, if you're buying in now, then you can enjoy all of that growth, right, of the property market. It's unlikely that the interest rates are going to go up. I don't have a crystal ball. Please don't hold me to this. But, you know, it's unlikely. They're certainly not going to go up 13 times again.
No.
They're also probably not going to come down 13 times. But, you know, they are going to come down. And so once that happens, I think everyone knows the market's just going to take off.
Absolutely.
Next year, I think, will be a year of enormous growth for the property market.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of other analysis of the market and a lot of webinars as well, and I'm saying to everybody, the minute that an interest rate cut is locked in, say the month before, you watch the market surge, and once the rate cut's happened, it will absolutely surge again, even if it's just a 0.25, because then everyone knows that interest rates have peaked, and therefore the projection is that rates will drop. But they're probably going to drop about six times, so about 1 to 1.25, 1.5% roughly, which will take the cash rate down to about 3%. So you've got a 5% mortgage rate. That'll probably where the market will sit, is my prediction.
Yeah.
So while we've talked about buyer sentiment, let's talk about vendor sentiment, because you see a lot of vendors more than we do, right? So what's in the mind of the vendor at the moment? Are they still nervous? Are they wanting to pull the trigger? Tell them what's going on in the family home when you're having discussions about listing.
Yeah, so a lot of people are still also just playing that waiting game, and that's why we're not seeing an enormous amount of stock coming to market. You know, a lot of vendors are nervous that if they sell, what are they going to buy? I actually just finished up an appraisal just now, and they're pretty keen to, you know, dip their toes in and maybe test the market, but they're very nervous about what are they going to buy. And then, you know, a lot of people just simply don't want to come off interest rates that they're locked into onto a much higher interest rate as well. But, you know, there is a lot of hesitation out there with vendors. And, you know, vendors that are looking for something a lot more than what the market's willing to actually give at the moment, they're just going to sit around on the market. Yeah. Vendors that are realistic about what they're wanting out of the market, that stock is moving along very quickly, sort of within about 2 weeks, average days on market. But, look, I think, you know, the good thing is we... and this is not a plug for us and Novak and the sort of marketing that we offer, but we actually did come up with a strategy about 5 years ago for vendors that were just sort of sitting on the fence going, will I, won't I, what will I do?
Yeah.
Don't really want to do an auction campaign. Don't really fancy spending lots and lots of money on marketing. So we actually came up with a $0 marketing strategy, which allows vendors to just dip their toes in.
Test the market.
Yep, test the market, do a pre-market.
To your database or to the overall market?
To the database, so it goes up, which is a very active database, and also out to our social media channels, which is also extremely active. You know, we transact a huge amount of stock that way. Things aren't selling cheaply, and we're not here to sell them quickly, but certainly if a vendor's got a dream price, in their mind, and we can achieve that easily for them.
Yeah.
That's a good option.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We really appreciate you tuning in to the Property Buyer Podcast, and I hope that you're finding our expert interviews helpful. So that we can keep providing this information and growing our audience, we rely on word of mouth recommendations. If you found this information useful, could I please ask you to share this podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues, and ask them to subscribe to the Property Buyer Podcast. It would be a big help, and we'd be very grateful for your support. Thanks once again for sharing the links, and now let's get back to the podcast. How do you deal with vendors that are just unrealistic, I guess? I mean, obviously in your listing presentations, you'd show comparable sales, but what do you do with a vendor that says, look, I want 20% more than the best price ever in this suburb?
We normally, like, when they're asleep, we'll go to the house very, very late at night. I think it's...
That's a joke.
It's educating them.
Yeah.
It's appealing to what the motivation is of what they're trying to achieve. And I think sometimes people, our vendors, will lose sight of that. They'll get caught up in, you know, if it's a low offer, the personality, or whatever, but it's like, hang on a second, let's just look at getting you to that, getting you from A to B. Mm. So we had a client recently that was moving from one house to a larger house, and it was understanding that, you know, they were in a better position when they moved to that, that next house. Well, they're a better family, they're a better, it's like, you know, the money may not be there, but you're actually getting from, so they'll get caught up on that 50,000. Yep. It's like, let's do the maths. Let's do the family scenario.
Mm.
Let's do the health scenario. Like, let's do the kids, and, you know, how long are the kids going to be around for to enjoy the new house, you know? And then they look at it in a different way. It's like, so it's not just educating them on, you know, ramming an offer down their throat. It's about, let's have a look at holistically what you're trying to achieve.
Yes.
And are you in a better position not to sell? Maybe.
Yeah.
Or are you in actually overall better position to move into that next part of your life? But that's like, you know, it's just, I think going through that with them.
I like to play the are you better or are you worse game.
Yeah.
So I've actually just come off the phone not very long ago today, just prior to you coming in, having this conversation. And so, you know, it's a vendor that was looking for big money on her property. And I literally went through with her properties that have recently sold and said, here's one that sold for X. Mm. Do you think you are better or worse than this property? Mm. And let them come to their own realization. Mm.
Mm.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, the facts are there.
Mm.
We've got the data.
That's it.
You know, that's it.
Mm. Great discussion. Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Putting your crystal ball hat on, prices on the northern beaches. You mentioned sort of they're edging up. Do you think they're going to be the next 10 years? Where do you think they're going to go?
Oh, look, this market, I mean,
probably half of what they are.
That's never happened. That's never happened. Look, you know, if you look back over 40 years, I think, you know, Mark's always very good at saying, you know, you let sort of history tell the picture, don't you? So if you look back, to help us see what's going to happen ahead, that speaks volumes about the Northern Beaches market.
Totally.
It's always been one of the best performing markets, and it's just going to continue to get better and better and better. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I did some analysis the other day with a colleague who runs Microbirds. They're data nerds, and I extracted the last 25 years worth of data for each of the capital cities, and Sydney's median house price for the last 25 years has been around 7.4% on a compounding average. So I took the median price at the end of last year, which is about close to 1.4 million, transposed it 20 years ahead. Guess what the median price is going to be in 2043? It's going to be $5 million.
Wow.
5 million. That's just 20 years away, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you guys still might be running Novacs, who know, you might have handed over the reins, but $5 million, you know, today's median price, Domain came out the other day, their figure was 1.6, but you think, far out, $5 million, how are my kids ever going to afford it? So when you think about those numbers, it can do two things. It can scare the pants off you, or it could motivate you. So I try to use it as an education tool to say, look, one of the seventh wonders of the world is compound growth, and you're far better to be in the property market than be out of the property market. And probably people listening to this are going, far out, what about my kids? How are they ever going to cope with it? Well, you can help your kids out. The bank of mum and dad is alive and well. And there's ways, if you structure it the right way with a mortgage broker, you can do a what's called a limited equity guarantee loan. You could even pull out 100 grand out of your own property. You don't give it to your kid, but you loan it on a short-term basis for a couple of years.
Mm.
And then when the property's increased in value, you can release that guarantee. So there are ways that parents can help their kids out. Mm-hmm. But I guess the message is that prices aren't going backward anytime soon. And if you look at a lifestyle destination like the Northern Beaches, which has got some of the best beaches in the world, like whenever I travel overseas, I come home and go, why did I travel here? The beach here at Manly's fantastic, or Curly's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but...
And look, I think to add to that, people forget it's very sort of animal kingdom. It's very human nature of what attracts people.
Mm.
And that fundamentally doesn't change over hundreds or thousands
exactly.
of years. Like, so at the end of the day, people look at, you know... water, they like it.
Yeah.
They look at weather, they love it.
Mm.
You know, so I think fundamentally the areas that have performed well historically, like those base things are not changing.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, those good areas are going to perform well for those same reasons they did in the past. It sounds very boring and drab, but
it's
I know sometimes people get very analytical about it, but I think at the end of the day, and the asset class of property is one of the only asset classes that you can, I know you mentioned compounding, but it's, you can actually leverage. So, and you can leverage 20 to 80%. You can't do that with Bitcoin.
Exactly.
You can't, shares, it's very difficult and even a little bit dangerous to do that. So when you're leveraging that dollar to $4 or $5, and then when you're compounding on that, that's incredible on 7.4%.
Absolutely,
that
mate.
Is incredible.
That's gold, isn't it? Yeah. And then I haven't even mentioned rental yield on top of that either. So
correct. Know. Well, and if you think about it, banks have this conscious decision. They can lend on Bitcoin. They don't. They can lend on this. They don't. But they have nominated property as the one they will lend on. Yeah. That rests well with me as well as a person to go, well, if it's good enough for a bank, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, totally with you on that, Mark. I want you to put your thinking cap on for undervalued suburbs on the Northern Beaches. So are there any kind of little insights we can give our investor listeners on this podcast for tips for inspiring investors on what you would say would be a relatively undervalued area on the Northern Beaches and really has probably more scope for growth than the neighbouring suburbs? What do you think?
Yeah, look, there's quite a few areas. And again, you know, if I draw back to the fact that I'm eastern suburbs born and bred, I still look at a lot of these properties and think to myself, you can't even get a two-bedroom apartment in Bondi for the price that that house just sold for.
Exactly.
Right? It's true. So, you know, I'd have to say that probably the areas that are pushing away a little bit from walking distance to the beach, because obviously that's a big draw card for the Northern Beaches. So as you start to move further up the hill away from the beaches, you've got some great areas like Forestville, like Narraweena, like Cromer. You know, these are still relatively affordable areas for people that are wanting to go and buy a house on a decent sized block of land. As I just mentioned earlier on, I just sold one there for, you know, circa $2.5 million. Now, $2.5 million is still a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't buy you much in areas like the eastern suburbs. Yet on the Northern Beaches, you can still get a house. But there's a lot of room there for growth.
Yeah, what about Cromer and North Narrabeen? What do you think about those areas for growth?
Yeah, absolutely there is. Yeah. Look, I think, you know, we just sold a house actually a few weeks ago at auction in North Narrabeen, and that sold for around $1.8 million. Now, albeit the house needed an enormous amount of work, but, you know, if you're handy and you want to go and spend a little bit of money on your property, you're going to be living in a great location, walking distance to the lake, to the beach, to transport, to wonderful shops and restaurants, you know, and you're able to get into the market at circa $1.8 million.
Fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
Good buying.
I think to answer that question in a different way, COVID brought on 2% interest rates, and I think 2% interest rates, anyone could do what they want, literally, financially, when it came to property. A lot of people entered into houses because, you know, you can, and, you know, you're in your home more because it's COVID. That's changed. Money is three times more expensive. Strata in our area here, on average, in every unit suburb, has done about a rolling average of 75% over 10 years. So that means it has not doubled. It's done 75%. So, but houses have done about 130 to 140% in every housing suburb. I've never seen such a large gap. So to answer your question, my opinion is DY. Parts of the unit areas, the unit suburbs, I think you're going to see tremendous growth over the next 3 years on the back of the people are finding it difficult to rent a rate. They want to buy something,
so
they'll get in an entry level. Affordable.
Yep. Affordable is the catchword. Absolutely. 100% agree with that, Mark. Couldn't have said it better myself. What's been your experience dealing with buyer's agents? And how does that sort of interaction compare with the ordinary buyer that you come across? How's that been for you guys?
It's sort of like Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah,
it's sort of Israeli conflict. When it's a great buyer, it's the same as real estate agents.
Yeah.
It's when it's a great real estate agent or a great buyer's agent, unbelievable. Mm. It's fantastic. Mm. So we like to, I like to stick to that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think when they're good, it's the same with lawyers. Sometimes you get lawyers that think they're real estate agents, and they, but when they're very good at practicing what they're good at, they're just unbelievable. Yeah. And buyer's agents, the same thing. Yeah. But I think sometimes they think they are
Better than you.
Yeah, you know, it's like I've done your job before, and this is how you do it. It's like,
Forget that, as long as it's professional.
Yeah, that's exactly good. Right. Yeah, like in any industry. Well, like in any industry, I'm sort of sitting here quietly in the corner, but, you know, look, no, exactly what you said, Mark. I mean, like in any industry, you've got your good and you've got your not so good.
Yeah.
And I've had experiences on both sides, but, you know, recently I had a wonderful experience with a great buyer's agent. Yeah. So,
you just want to know, at the end of the day, like for me being a buyer's agent myself, I want the agent to know that I'm representing my client's best interest, just like I'd want to know you are representing your vendor's best interest, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to trump you or try and pinch a property. I'm just going to present facts to you. Like if I'm negotiating with you, Mark, I'm going to say, look, here, this property up in Campbell Parade, look, here's the comparable sales. Why are you asking this price? It should be this. Yeah. You look at me and go, yeah, I agree. Let's do it. Let's do a shake hands on the deal. So we're professional about it. It's not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes.
Absolutely. But I must say, as an agent who is dealing with, you know, buyer's agents, I often do have a little bit of a sigh of relief, because on the other side, you are dealing with someone who does have the experience.
Knows how it works.
And knows how it works. And usually there's, you know, an enormous amount of speed involved as well, which is great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that ends up being a very successful
outcome. Cut the small talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's the contract? Got the 66W, let's go.
That's right, exactly. And that's music to any agency is. But it's... And that speed that's behind it as well as, you know, is what's great for everyone, most importantly, the vendor.
Fantastic. How do you present your properties for sale so that you get maximum impact? Like, Lisa, you've won a lot of awards for social media stuff, and, you know, is there any particular strategy or formula that you use for presenting properties and marketing properties?
Yeah, there is, actually. So we do things differently, in case you hadn't noticed.
Absolutely.
We've got what we call a staged marketing strategy.
Mm.
So there's a plan A, which is our pre-market $0 marketing strategy.
That's great.
And usually at that stage, it's a property that is presented sometimes in its raw form, i.e. we are getting it all ready for market. So we're getting it maybe painted, carpeted, styled, and ready for market. But in that stage, we'll bring some buyers through.
And do they think they're getting in early? So there's kind of a bit of a sense of anticipation there, right?
They absolutely are getting in early. You know, they're getting in early before we've launched it out to the real estate portals.
Yeah.
But the benefit for the buyer is they actually have the opportunity of buying it while we're getting it all ready, pre-market. And the benefit for the vendor is that either we're getting a really fast, very successful sale. We're not here to sell it cheaply, but you know, a buyer that's maybe missed out on multiple properties at an auction is going, I don't care if the walls are getting painted, just get me through before you've launched it out. And so it's been, you know, it's been enormously successful for vendors and for buyers.
Yeah, brilliant.
I also think that agents are not very good in the first 2 weeks of the auction campaign, and they are very, very good in the last 2 weeks of the auction campaign.
Mm.
So they've actually, they've dealt with the best buyers when they're not on point. And what I mean by that is what I love about pre-market is you get to deal with the market before it's gone realestate.com. Mm. And what you mentioned in your question was presentation.
Mm.
People vote with their money.
Yes.
They will tell you, and then you actually get it perfect, your dialogue perfect, your answer's perfect, then you go into week one of an auction campaign.
Yeah.
That's a better result for a seller.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's a wonderful discovery phase well. So we do need to launch it out to the real estate portals where we know exactly where we're going to throw that dart.
Fantastic.
But what I do know, when I've sold properties that have been half built, half renovated, you know, halfway getting painted, a buyer who is super motivated, who is ready to buy now, and has missed out on multiple properties, I can tell you, they don't care if the walls are pink and they're getting painted white next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get in and they want that first advantage.
Mm-hmm. First mover. Tell me about how you approach the negotiation process with buyers. And secondly, what sort of tip would you give to the ordinary buyer to in the way they deal with you to get the best outcome? What do you reckon?
What's your point to me for, Lisa?
Because sometimes Mark says, "Oh, Lisa, you talk too much. I'm really just allowing you."
I noticed that today.
Have you noticed that?
It's very good.
I'm just really, really cool allowing.
Great interaction.
Thanks. Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's like playing tennis.
Normally it's like
80-20.
Sort of.
That's all good.
It's really nice, Lisa. Thank you. But no, I'll hand it to you.
Can you ask me the question?
So how do you approach the negotiation process? Is really, how do buyers get the, how should buyers approach you to get the best outcome is what I'm asking.
Sure. So look.
Okay, I'll answer that. this never happens, and I'm shocked. People are spending $1 million, $2 million. Ring up the agent and say, "Can I see you?" If you set up a buyer meeting, an offer meeting with a real estate agent, I think it is genius. You are buying something for $1 million. I don't see many buyer's agents doing it, and I don't see many buyers doing it. And I've got to tell you, that authenticity, that belly to belly, eyeball to eyeball, is just so good. So I think the best way is just going for a good old fashioned chat, and I reckon you'll get more out of the conversation than you. I know you will, than over a phone or an email or an SMS. Like, it is the best.
Exactly.
And it just depends. I mean, we don't do cookie cutter. I know there's certain agencies that are only auction agencies or agents. Depending on the property, for me as an agent, depends on how I'm going to run the campaign, depending on my vendor's needs, depending on where the market is at. So at the moment, if I have a look at all of my listings, some are auction, some are private treaty, and some are expressions of interest. So I've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
How do we deal with the buyer? I always say to my buyers, move fast.
Yeah.
Give me a good, strong offer quickly. Because please don't call me up next week upset because a property sold. That's the reality. You know, I can't tell you how many times over the last couple of weeks I've actually run best and fairest on properties because I had multiple buyers. Or sometimes we're selling pre-auction, pre-market. Things are closing out quickly if we received a very strong offer. So if you're a buyer and you're listening to this, guys, understand, move fast, hard and fast.
I think a lot of, on the buy side, that's why we win a lot of business, because people just think that agents are always going to play games with them, right? They there's this whole distrust in the industry of real estate agents. But
don't know what you're talking about.
You know, but but when I come in, I mean, you know, if I come in and make an offer, it's a genuine offer, you know, and I'm saying, I tell the agent, actually, I've seen this property, I really like what I've just seen, I'll be sending you an offer tomorrow. And bing, like, I've got their attention. A lot of people are trying, they fake that they're not really interested, and then I might give you, like, be genuine about it. You know, that doesn't need to be any harder.
Yeah, so. Speed and authenticity, I guess in two words is what I think.
Brilliant.
I think speed's the biggest commodity in the world. I think it's the most underrated.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it works in negotiation, it works with food, it just works with everything.
Yeah, that's it. So I've got two more questions for you. Tell me your most memorable, interesting, or potentially intriguing sale that you've ever done. Something that really sticks in your mind.
Literally just received a text from one of my favorite vendors.
Yeah.
I was awarded to sell one of the most iconic properties in Manly, and by far that was the most memorable and always will be. It was a property that I sold, it was about a year and a half ago now, in Manly, and took out the suburb record per square metre in an area that I now sell in a lot, but at the time hadn't sold a house there prior to that, and managed to take out the suburb record at auction.
Is this the one behind the surf club?
It is.
Yeah,
there you
go.
Everyone,
21 million, wasn't it?
21.5 million.
There you go. Almost got it right.
Yeah, for a 400 square metre property that was almost a knockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
So by far that was the most memorable, and there were just so many reasons, because every agent in the area, I guess, thought they were going to get the listing. And the listing, I never in a million years thought that I would get that listing. But I had looked after this client many years ago when she had a very old, dilapidated two-bedroom apartment to sell in Redmond Road, DY.
Yeah.
And she never forgot it.
Fantastic.
She never forgot how I'd looked after her.
Do you know what? You've just struck a chord there, because people don't remember necessarily your name, but they remember how you made them feel.
100%.
Talk about authenticity. If you remember that,
always using that quote.
That's a great line, isn't it?
It's true, though.
But it's true.
It is absolutely true. And
so you win business.
You know, and there's no dollar value that you can put on that.
No.
There's absolutely no dollar value.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm always saying when you look after people, that is the result.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not driven by anything else but looking after people, well and they will never forget how you make them feel.
Yeah. What about you, Mark? What's the most memorable sale?
Oh, it sounds really bad. I don't even want to talk about it. I had a guy that he had one leg, and I had a great relationship with him, and his wife was a champion. And they said, look, just get me and get us a place, but just make sure it's two-story. It's not two-story because I've got one leg, and I sold him a two-story property. So when I told them, I rang him up and said, hey, you know, it's got something great. Now, I know that you've said you don't want something that's two-story, but you've got to come and have a look. And they bought it.
And did they put a lift in or something or an escalator? No?
Yeah.
He's just going to hop up.
He was a younger guy.
Yeah.
But I remember at the office at the time, that everyone in the office was just going, like, how do you sell something?
That's so funny. That's hilarious.
So I look at it as in, look, it was a great relationship. Yeah. They wanted, they bought it, they loved it. But I thought that salesmanship side where it was just great value and I just and I knew everything else that they wanted. But
Probably shouldn't tell that story. That's great. I love it. Love that. Love the authenticity. Tell me the last thing. Tell me a property tip, the best property tip you'd like to share with our audience. Just one each, just a quick tip.
Best property tip is you've got to, you do need to trust the real estate agent. I know we just talked about that a moment ago. You know, we're here as experts, much like when you go to a doctor and you're asking them for the expert advice. If you sit there, you listen to the doctor, you go away and you don't follow what the doctor said, don't expect a great outcome. And it's the same with real estate agents, you know. And also, we're really not all the same. And I sometimes, when I'm sitting in a listing presentation, they're like, oh, you know, but I think you're all the same. Yeah. No, we're really not. Mm. We all bring very, very different qualities to the table.
Yeah, well, think about your school teachers. They're all the same. Mm. No.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Yeah. And Mark, any final tips from you?
I think you can never afford to buy, really. But buy and buy regular. So, and you know, I just think stay consistent with it. So you will get comfortable and just keep pushing yourself, you know, to, and I think it, you can have everything else that, you know, you can still do your holidays, you can still do what you need to do. It still sort of happens. But I think it just makes for a much more comfortable life in the second half of your life. You know, if you can, you know, early, you know, buy.
And also the first property is honestly the hardest, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten over that, I know we've got Billy, a young guy who works in here, and he bought his first property and he's like, I don't know how I'm going to afford these mortgage repayments. They've just gone up by three times. But you know what? You push through it and you do and you're resilient and you work it out and you just, you know, you just make stuff work.
Brilliant.
And then the ones after that seem to be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But property's always been very, very kind to people, that's for sure.
Well, Mark Novak, Lisa Novak, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and tips today. It's been such a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having us.
You're a legend.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for being with us on another Property Buyer podcast. If you have a question you'd like to ask, please click on the SpeakPipe link and we'll answer this during the next episode. If you're looking to buy a residential or commercial property in the near future and would like to get the added advantage of having a buyer's advocate on your side, then please reach out to my team today and send us your inquiry and we'd be delighted to help. Please visit our website at propertybuyer.com.au where you can stay updated with all my latest market updates, weekly blogs and live suburb profiles to help you make better property decisions. We look forward to connecting with you again on the next Property Buyer podcast.